The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 16. And if you have a church Bible, it's on page 1175. And it's titled Unity and Maturity in the Body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ gave himself to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fantastic. Great. Quiz time. Look, it's up there already. Brilliant. We'll come back to that in a minute. You're pleased to know that I'm only going to talk for 45 minutes. I'm joking. It's one of these things, isn't it, where we've got to just go with what God's doing and what he's doing in the room, what he's doing in that place. And as Chris says, it can get a little bit messy. And for some of us, we're going to look at this in a minute, but because we're all different. Did you know that? We're all different. The title of the talk is Unity and Maturity. And unity often can be, how can we all look the same? But maturity is known about how we're all different. So how do they work? And we're going to think a little bit about that this morning. But we're all different, so some of us probably really enjoyed what we've just done. Thought, brilliant, it's a bit different, it's new. For some of us, we're like, what just happened there? That was totally, and that's okay, because God is good. And sometimes we go with the things that we plan, and sometimes we go with different things, because God knows what he's doing. And we want to look at that a little bit today. And I'm honestly not going to talk for 45 minutes, but I do want to give us space to continue to respond to what God's doing. For some of us, that word of Abby's around worship in the midst of disappointment. And for some of us, it might be that particular issue. But for others of us, there's other things that we have longed for, wished for, hoped for, dreamed of, that we haven't yet seen or haven't. We know that that's not going to happen in that way. And we just need to get people to pray around us, to stand with us, to support us, to build us up, to be the people that God's made us to be. And as Paul said, we're moving back into Ephesians. So we've had a series in worship, and we're not leaving that. We're not kind of going, right, we've done worship, let's get on with the next thing. Let's continue that journey together. Let's continue to push ourselves and each other in worship. What does it mean to honor God? As we come on a Sunday, what does it mean to build his throne in this place? But what does it mean to do that in every aspect of life? Let's continue those conversations to be a people who worship God in spirit and in truth. But we're going to jump back into Ephesians. And we spent a bit of time at the beginning of this year looking at Ephesians 1 to 3. And then we took a break, and we're now going to start in Ephesians 4, which is a kind of transition in this book. And we'll look at that in a minute, but we're going to jump to the quiz, because I'm going to end up jumping around all over the place, and I want to do this quiz. So you're going to get to stand up or sit down, depending on your general answer. It doesn't necessarily have to be the specific answer to the question, but if you would generally tend towards the options I give you to stand, then stand up. If you would generally move towards the options of sitting down, then stay sat down. And we'll just have a little look around the room, see what how we respond to different things. So question one is this. You are totally exhausted after a long week at work. How do you spend the weekend? So, totally exhausted after a long week at work. How would you spend the week? So, stay sat down if generally you would get a book, find some space, and disappear by yourself. Stand up if you organise a big party and get a whole lot of people together and you just want to find someone to do something with. There we go. So, stay sat down if you get a book and just find some space. Stand up if you let's have a party. I'm standing up, by the way, for this one. Have a look around. Have a look around. So generally those who sat down are people who would like a good book and a read. Generally those who stood up like to organise a party. Again, we're all slightly different. What does unity look like in a group of people who are different? Okay, everyone sit down again. Okay, second one. Your company's competitor is trying to entice you to come to work for them. How do you decide what's best? So, stand if you would make a list of all the pros and cons of all the different options and you'd make a decision from that. Stay sat down if you just go, whatever feels best. I'm sitting down for this one. Cool. Okay, again, look around. That's quite a lot of people have stood up for that one. But I would say probably still about 50-50 in that one. Okay, final one. You have 2 weeks left before a major event. Wedding, birthday party, significant birthday party. How are the preparations going? Sit down if it's all planned. All in order, all sorted, 2 weeks before. What are we talking about? Don't even have to say stand up. Stand up for those who are going, party, great, let's see what happens. So standing is those people who look and think, 2 weeks, amazing, I can start planning about now. Or even don't bother planning, let's just see what happens. Sit down if you think... it's all sorted, all ready, all put in order. Right, Mark, look around the room. These are the people we need sitting down right now, organized, planned, sorted. Brilliant, great, have a seat. Great. So we're all different. If any of you have ever done anything on Myers-Briggs, you've just realized that those three questions are kind of Myers-Briggs types questions, and it helps us to understand the types of personalities we are. We are all different. We are all different. And Ephesians begins to speak into this. It talks about, in the passage we just read, we look at unity and we look at maturity. Unity is how we connect together, how we are one. Maturity says, how do we grow into who we are? We've just looked around the room. We are all different. Some people stood for more than one of those things. Some people sat for all of them. What does it look like? But let's just very briefly remind ourselves of what we've looked at so far. These slides will be on, which will have more than I'm going to, or I'll flick through some, so don't worry if you don't catch it all. These will be available on the website probably tomorrow. But let's just have a look and just remind ourselves of what we've looked at with Ephesians 1 to 3. Our position in Christ. Watchman Nee talks about in his book, Sit, Walk, Stand, that it's our seated position in Christ. Where we start. What it's all about. All that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has done for us. So the first section was about blessed, the spiritual blessings that God has poured upon us. And some of the key words in there, accepted and chosen. It's what he speaks over each one of us. Like we're accepted and we're chosen. The next section can be redeemed. That we're a redeemed people. That it's by grace and faith. That it's not our works, it's not our effort. It's all him. It's all God. It's his gift to us. Because we're accepted and chosen. The next section is reconciled, connected and rejoined back into God's family. And peace and wisdom are words that resonate with those sections. Again, I'd spend a bit more time looking at this and encourage you to get a hold of this and go back and have a look and remind yourselves of those things from that beginning of Ephesians 1 to 3. And finally, the last section, the prayer that he prays, that Paul prays for the people reading this letter, reminding you that this is the letter to the Ephesians, but it was a letter, it was a duplicate letter that was perhaps written to numbers of different churches. It's just we happen to have the letter to the Ephesians. A similar letter or same letter with different sent to different places. A region written. And he prays for that region. That they would be spirit-filled. That they would know the fullness of God. That they would know his power and his love. As we look at this passage, as we remember Ephesians 1 to 3, we are reminded of all that God has done for us, all that he has intended for us and purposed and planned for us. And so we come to our reading today, which starts reminding of us where Paul is writing this letter in prison, as a prisoner of the Lord. Then, I urge you, in light of everything that we've looked at already, in light of all that has been spoken of, that has been written, that has been reminded of you, for you, of all that good God has done to enable you, then, live a life worthy of this calling. We're not meant to be people who just sit in that place, but we are people who walk out this calling. The calling of being chosen children of God. The calling of being people who are accepted and loved, who have been given every spiritual blessing. People who walk out. But, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice that, keep the unity. It's already there. It's already been achieved. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Their relationship is unity. We are part of that. So we are keeping the unity. And we do that because we recognize that all that God has done for us. That we are all special and unique because we're all children of God. But we're all equal in that. No one more special than anyone else. No one has done anything slightly less worse than anyone else, which makes us slightly better than anyone else. We all needed God's grace. We're all in need of him. And so we come humbly and gently, recognizing the needs of others, recognizing the pain that others carry as they work out their calling, recognizing the disappointments that we carry. But in the midst of it, we seek to hold unity. And it's because, I'm going to flick on a couple of, so we're looking at unity. It's because we're one body, one spirit. just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. This is what connects us together. This is what unity looks like. Often unity can be talked about as something that we've got to do together. That we've got to be together doing the same thing at the same time. But the unity that Paul is talking about, a unity of understanding who we are, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. Unity is remembering whose you are. Remembering whose you are. The baseline is the same. We are all children of God. But Paul goes on, and he wants us to develop in maturity, to become fully who God's made us to be from that platform of unity, that platform of we are all equal in God's sight. We are all in need of his grace. We've all been given his grace. We are all accepted and chosen. And he moves on into the rest of Ephesians 4 that we read this morning. I shouldn't say Ephesians 4, 1 to 4, but anyway, don't worry about that. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. We are all different. We have all been given different gifts. And Paul's heart for the people reading this letter the first time and for us as we read it now is to be people who understand how God has made us. What are the gifts he's given to us? This is one of those passages that is talked about a lot. It's a significant passage for me in understanding who I am, who God's made me to be through my journey. And it's a passage that sometimes has caused conflict in churches, trying to work out what it all means. I want to briefly, very briefly, just to begin to unpack a little bit, to help us to think perhaps what this passage might mean for us as we continue to journey. And Paul will continue to look at this next week as well. As Paul writes, he talks, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. He then goes on to explain how that works. So I've highlighted there, he kind of jumps. And interestingly, he's quoting from Psalm 68, but he's actually changed it slightly. Psalm 68 talks about a king who's arriving and the people give gifts to that king arriving. Paul talks about it the other way around. Talks of a king, but he's giving gifts to his people. He then goes on to suddenly realize he's kind of trying to explain how the gifts thing works from Psalm. And then he realizes he's mentioned about this ascending thing. And so then he goes off on a little tangent and he kind of tries to explain the ascended bit and explaining about how the ascended and pointing to what Jesus has done for us. He's come down and he's gone back up. And then he moves on. So Christ gave himself. But in this passage, there's an explanation of how it works, and then an explanation of what is going on. But if we read it with the content of what he's trying to say without explanation, it says to each one of us, to all grace has been given. That doesn't count anyone out in the room. Grace has been given to each one of us as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. God has given gifts to his people to enable us all to grow in maturity. Not gifts to some to help everybody. Not gifts to our one-off leader. But gifts to us all. We've seen that this morning. God has given gifts to Chris to lead us in that moment into a place that, as Paul said, he's not sure he could do because of the giftings that have been given. God gives gifts to us all. And I want to suggest from this passage that those gifts reflect the giftings that are mentioned there. That for some of us, as we begin to journey and understand what it means to be an apostle, what does it mean to have prophetic gifts? What does it mean to have evangelistic gifts? What does it mean to have a gift of a pastor? What does it mean to have gifts of teaching? That we recognize that in all of us, that we each have some element of that gifting, that together as a community of people, we call out of each other to build up his church in this place. If you get hold of the PowerPoint, that's the word I'm looking for, if you get hold of the PowerPoint afterwards, there's a little bit of explanation of what some of those giftings might look like. And it's one of those things where we've kind of got to take the lens off of perhaps sometimes what we understand those things to be and how they operate so that we can see afresh how those gifts are given. But if unity is about whose we are, then maturity about is remembering who we are, who God has called us to be, and growing and developing in that. Whose we are and who we are. Who have we been made to be? How do we operate? Are we people who like to be organized and get things done well in advance? Or are we people who really enjoy the last minute, the spontaneity? We're all needed in this kingdom of God. And so the giftings of teacher, of pastor, shepherd, sometimes the word shepherd is used because it's helpful, because we often think of pastor as the leader of a church. And that is not what this passage is talking about. But we talk about teachers and shepherds and evangelists and apostles and prophets. Apostles. People who are visionary, who see new ground, who are excited about new things, pushing into those new grounds. Some of us get excited about those things. The opportunities and the possibilities that are out there for others of us, it's like, whatever. Prophets, ones who hear and listen to God. We're all meant to do some of this. We're all meant to be people who listen to God, but some people are gifted to help us all grow in it. We probably know people who we think, man, they're so good at listening to God. They're so good and they're always spot on. My encouragement to you is if you know somebody like that and you think, I want to get better, go and ask them how they do it, what's going on, because they're gifted in that way to help the body grow in that. Evangelists. We should all be people who carry good news. But some of us are better at it, are more equipped at doing that. It's just what they do. They just can't help but talk about good news all of the time. And we sometimes look at them and think, we should be like that, we should be like that, we should be like that. And we think, actually, that's the way they're made. But we can learn from them. We can learn how to do evangelism better. Pastor teachers, those people who are just brilliant and gifted at looking after God's people, caring for others. Again, we learn from them to become better at doing it. Teachers. Do you get my point? That these giftings are given to all of us so that we can all grow. Because God needs all of this in his church. He's purposed it all. If you go back through the PowerPoint, you will see how we see that and express that through Jesus. Jesus is all of these things. And if we are his body, then we express all of these things through his body. But as we grow as a church in maturity, we grow knowing whose we are and knowing who we are. so we learn from each other and not feel condemnation when we're not very good at something. But we know how we can learn from each other. Remembering that this is not anyone's better than anyone else. We all are children accepted by God. We're all equal in his sight. But we grow together. So, as I said, there's so much in there. And we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to be looking at some of this with our small community leaders tomorrow night as well. And we'll continue these conversations. And Paul's going to continue looking at some of Ephesians 4 next week as well. Because we want to continue to be a people who walk out all that God's done for us. We want to be a people who walk it out so that our city is changed and transformed. If we keep it to the few, we're never going to see lives and cities transformed. It was never meant to be for the few. It's for the all, for all and each one of us. So let's just take a moment. I'm conscious in the things that I've said that it perhaps raises questions. You perhaps listen and we think, that's not something that I've understood before. There's words in there that perhaps we don't really like. But my question for us today is, what's God say? As we continue to journey through Ephesians, as we begin to think about what it looks like to walk it out, at this point, do we know whose we are? Are we people who are secure in the knowledge of all that God has done for us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And are we people who know who we are? Who God's made us to be? We're not all equal. We're not all the same. How has God gifted you? What skills and gifts has he given to you to serve his kingdom that we practice in this place so that we're good at it when we get out into the place that he's called us to be? I'm just going to give us a moment just to be still, to ask God what he's saying to you today. And I'm going to invite us to stand. And I'm just going to pray for us. The Holy Spirit helps us to know whose we are and helps us to know who we are. And so I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. And it may be for some of us, we just want some prayer. We're getting towards the end where we'll need to get kids and from groups. But for those that don't need to go, it might be that you just want to continue worshiping as well. I'm just going to pray for us and then Paul will take over and lead us into land. For some of us, we may just want some space to respond to Abby's word as well. That actually that sense of disappointment separates us from knowing God, from connecting with him, from having time with him, because we just are struggling with that. And it's not that the people praying with you are going to give any answers, but they'll stand with you to pray for you and with you. So let me just pray for us. Father, thank you for each one of us here. Thank you for who you've called us to be. Thank you that you know each one of us, that you formed us and made us. Thank you for all that you've done. that means that we can be connected to you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come and move among us. Come, Holy Spirit.